This is Doug Miller. Who is this man whom historians simply call Jesus? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again. Privileged to be back again. Delighted to be back with you. One more time to tell out the Word of God into a microphone, down a wire, into some kind of system down there somewhere, and out across the airways to who knows who. It's a scattering of the seed. It is the Lord's business to honor His Word. He will honor it. We have His promise on that. And it is your joy and privilege, I trust, to be able to sit there and to listen and to discern by the power of the Holy Spirit, to take it in and to grow thereby and to profit. And if you're not saved, hey, it's the Word that saves. It's the Holy Spirit taking the Word and generating faith, and that is what saves. So, you know, today's as good a time as any to get saved, isn't it, if you're not? And if you do, we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you, you know, whether if you got saved or not, or if you just got blessed, or just to know that you're out there. We are a faith ministry, Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, and we are brought to you every time at this week. We are strictly dependent on our listeners. Let us hear from you. Let us know that you're out there and listening. You cannot imagine how encouraging it is. If you have a question, be glad to answer it. If you have a comment, be glad to consider that. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. And if you didn't get that now, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast, so keep your writing materials handy. And we are in the first chapter of Hebrews. We began this 3 weeks ago, as I recall, assuming I'm not totally confused here, we got through one verse last time, and that's the fifth verse. And the reason is because this is so rich in here. Now, for those of you who are looking for some kind of little how-to ministry, how to, you know, pray, how to study the Bible and all that, I think you're going to find out that that's not what you're going to be getting out of this. There'll be another time and place for that kind of ministry. I'm not against that kind of ministry. There are plenty of good men and women out there that are teaching this sort of thing over the air, and you can get that from them. Right now, we are looking at the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I've noticed something. And I noticed it a long time ago, and I keep seeing it again and again and again, over and over and over. There are a lot of people out there who claim to be Christians. But when you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, they begin to get a little bored and a little restless, and they want to hear something else. If that's you, if I'm talking to you, and if that describes you, I've got news for you. You need to ask yourself whether or not you're saved at all. Because Christians, once again, I've noticed this, all have a love affair with Jesus Christ going on. They cannot hear enough about Him. They cannot get enough about Him. More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus. And if you pick up this letter to the Hebrews, that's exactly what you're going to get, because it is all about Jesus from one end to the other. And these people that this letter was written to needed to hear about Jesus, because they had come out of temple worship away from the temple and the synagogues, out to Jesus. They had believed in him, or said they did anyway, as Messiah, and now many of them were in danger of abandoning that and going back into temple worship, into the synagogues, away from the true faith and back to the faith of mere shadows and formality, leaving Jesus. And this letter is written to warn them not to do that. Now, throughout this letter, our writer here quotes copiously from the Old Testament. Remember, that's the only Bible they had back then. New Testament hadn't yet been written. And we saw him last time quoting from the second Psalm with a question in verse 5. To which angel did God the Father ever say, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee"? And the answer is to none of them. None of them. The Son is high above any angel. There is none like him. He is the unique, only begotten Son of God the Father, first begotten from the dead. And let's pick it up at verse 6 of chapter 1. Again, he says, when he brings the first begotten into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. That is a quote from Deuteronomy 32:43. It's out of the Septuagint, the Greek version. To which of the angels did he ever say anything like that? Now, we read throughout, we know throughout the Old and New Testaments, that the Son of God is the object of absolute worship and adoration by every angel in heaven. And I'll tell you something else. Not all of the angels are in heaven. Some of them were cast out in the rebellion. Some of them are awaiting in chains in Hades for the final judgment. Some of them will have their portion in the lake of fire with our enemy, who is known as Satan and the devil, Diabolus, the slanderer, and the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will be in hell, but they too will worship him. They will bow the knee to him. They may not like it, but they will have no choice, because that is their lot. All the angels of God, all of them created by God the Father. These are created beings, but as we saw the last time, the Son of God is no created being. He has lived eternally as God the Son with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, and it is from that position that all of the angels of God will worship him. And let's go on into verse 7 now of Hebrews 1. Of the angels, God said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now that word ministers is liturgos in Greek. It means his public ministers, those who serve him publicly. And that, incidentally, if you're interested, is Psalm 104, verse 4. He makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. That's how he has spoken of the angels. But, look at verse 8. Under the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, let me ask you to just turn back, hold your place there in Hebrews, and turn back to Psalm 45, and let's take a look at this. If I am talking to any of you out there who are Jewish, who have a Jewish background, if you believe this word, this book, is indeed the word of God, You may not believe that of the New Testament. But if you believe that the Old Testament is the Word of God, is given of God, then you need to consider what we are going to look at right now. If you are out there and you are one of these so-called Unitarians, maybe you believe that there is a God, but you don't believe that Jesus was God, you need to consider the 45th Psalm, which the writer of Hebrews quotes from here. This is something you need to take a look at. And let's just look at it. Last week we went back and we looked at the second Psalm. Well, here is the 45th Psalm. And let's begin with verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. This word inditing, it means to bubble up. It's bubbling up. And I you have to love this. The picture is that of a fountain that is simply bubbling up. It's welling up. It's spilling over. Let me ask those of you who are listening to me, when is the last time that you simply overflowed with rejoicing because of the Son of God, because of Jesus Christ your Lord? When, and let me just kind of go off on a little bit of a rabbit trail here, but not much of one. You hear a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit today and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and these Spirit-filled people and so on and so forth. Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's ministry on this earth is not to call attention to himself, but to call attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you say, well, I'm Spirit-filled, fine. If you are Spirit-filled, then understand this. You will, in fact, be bubbling over with rejoicing, not about the Holy Spirit, but about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say, well, I've got our preacher is down here, and boy, he can really preach, or she had a letter from an individual the other day that was pretty upset because I had said that there is no place for women preachers in the church. Paul was very clear in 1 Corinthians 14 and in 1 Timothy 2. Let your women keep silence. It is a shame for a woman to speak in church. I suffer not, he wrote to Timothy, for a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. You may not like that. I didn't write it. Paul wrote it. Live with it. And if you are in defiance of that and explaining it away by some kind of human reasoning, shame on you. You need to get with it here and understand what the Word of God says and submit to it. Let's not go off too far in that direction now. If you have a preacher and you say that individual is Spirit-filled, let me tell you something. Where you have God-given gift and where you have spiritual gift being exercised in the assembly and publicly, those who are exercising that gift and those who are under that ministry, their hearts will be drawn to Jesus Christ every time. And if you are sitting in a church where ministry is going on and you are not coming out of there overflowing with Jesus Christ and with your hearts just bubbling over with him, if you are not being drawn to him, then what you are under is not spiritual, Spirit-filled, and Spirit-led ministry at all, but it's something else, and you need to get out of there. Okay? And if you are not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if the very word and term, the Lord Jesus Christ, do not excite you and fill you to overflowing, you got a problem. Okay? And I couldn't make myself clearer and plainer if I tried. All Spirit-filled and Spirit-led believers, once again, as I've said before, I say again, have a love affair with Jesus Christ going on. And they are in love and overflowing with him. It's all about him. And incidentally, for those of you who, you hear a lot of talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. His title is the Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus our Lord, and you had better speak it with reverence. You had better put the shoes off your feet when you talk about him. You had better honor him and not be talking about Jesus, our big brother, and Jesus, our pal, and our buddy, and all of that. You put the shoes off your feet because you're walking on holy ground. You are talking about the sovereign of the universe. You are talking about the Creator, the one whom all the angels of God worship. My heart is inditing a good matter, says the psalmist here. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Did you get that? Did you hear that? There is no child of any human that is in any way comparable to him. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. I love it. I love it. I love to hear this. You know, the name of Jesus, Satan hates that name. All the minions of hell hate that name. And they will do anything to pull him down and to destroy him and to demean him and to make him something other than what he is. You had better look at this closely. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with glory in thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby people fall under thee. Now here we get, beginning in verse 6 of Psalm 45, we get the psalm, the part of the psalm that is quoted in Hebrews by the writer. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. If you say, well, that's God the Father, there's only one God, and all this talk about the Son, you had better read this carefully. Thy throne, O God, is forever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee. What are we talking about here? Who is being anointed and who is doing the anointing? We have got two persons of the Godhead involved here, and you need to understand that, and not all of the mental gymnastics or theological jangling and wrangling and talking can get around this. We have got one identified as God, and we've got another identified as God. And if you see the Son here as anything other than absolute deity, you're in a heap of trouble. You had better look at it again. And remember, as I told you last week, and I mentioned it again, and I'm getting ready to tell you again, remember that Jesus is not even named yet. Throughout the whole first chapter, he is never named. He is not named until we get into the second chapter of Hebrews. And it becomes very clear then who the writer is talking about. But right now, he doesn't even name him because he wants those hearing him and reading his words to understand that he is talking about one who is no less than God. Now, these Jews, many of them understood that there was a Messiah, that there was a king coming forth from God in the line of David to rule and reign. But some of them didn't understand that the Messiah coming forth was himself God. How can one come forth from God who is himself God? Well, it's real. There's only one answer to it, friends. And that is because God is three persons. We have a trinity of beings here. And if you say, well, if you got three, you've got three gods. Oh, no. For all of you out there who are thinking in these terms, we have got one God, But we have got three persons within the Godhead. You think I can explain that to you? Oh, I cannot. I cannot. I can simply tell you that that's the way it is, and that's the way that this God of ours is presented throughout the Word, both Old and New Testaments, and you had better accept it on faith. God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows or thy companions. That is what we are looking at, and that is who we are talking about here. Once again, it's the Anointed One. There is only one who is called the Anointed One. And the word in Greek for Messiah is Christos, and he is Christ. He is the Anointed One, and he has been anointed. And look at verse 8. I tell you what. Yeah, I love this one. We have a song that we sing sometimes, and many of you sing it in the churches around Christendom. Out of the ivory palaces, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. Our Lord Jesus Christ came forth from that high and holy and lofty place in eternity. He has come forth with holy garments on, the garments of the high priest. And you know that these anointing spices here, which are named here, myrrh and aloes and cassia, the smell, he gives forth a good smell. And there is no question that this myrrh, you know, this is one of the anointing spices that was brought to him at his birth by the wise men who came from the east, bringing him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And this, of course, this myrrh speaks of his death. This is one of the anointing spices that speak of his death. He is one who died for us. Out of the ivory palaces he came, and he came bearing gifts for us. Now let's go back, and we're about out of time. Let's take a look here once again as we close out in the letter to the Hebrews. Thou, O God, art forever and ever. Thou hast loved righteousness. Thou hast hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. There is none like him. There is no angel in all of creation that can in any wise sit in that place and occupy that position. Let me ask you something as we close out. Do you see him and understand who you're dealing with here? Have you ever bowed the knee to him? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.